showing you the character that I'm talking about is the character I live with today as the new character. I'm not living today with the old character. The old character is there, because that's me. That's my mind by itself, by the power. When I stay in the new character, meaning that I have a power that's greater than me, and I have a method, a way of life, that I can build a character and principle so that as I live today, my mind doesn't have to search out and see what it needs to do for anger, for any other thing like that. It isn't there to do. Even though it's there, it's not there, because it's still me. And so it's a hard concept to think in terms that you can walk and talk with a power greater than you, a God, in all of your affairs. All of your affairs is your living life as your life is lived. And this is hard, this is a hard concept, because see, you keep going back to self. And when you go back to self, you're going to have to take all the information and all of the attitudes and everything that you've got in you. And this is where anger lies. Anger doesn't lie in the new character. This is why step 4 and 5 and 6 are there. This is why I said in 6 that I'm entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character forever, a lifetime job. So this is important now to see, to let this come into your real heart, your mind and your heart, to realize that no matter who you are as an alcoholic, you don't have to look at life like that no more. You do not have to go through such pain and suffering and everything else because of your mind doing something about something. Because the God consciousness of your, of the new character, the God consciousness of the new character, only means self-consciousness isn't there. It means God consciousness is in principles of building a character so that when I respond to life, whatever life is, for each and every one of us, whatever it is, I don't have to come with all my defects. I don't have to come with self. I don't have to come with memory. I got a file cabinet in my head that went back from what year, I don't know. It's still there. I don't have to use it. The new character, it's a hard concept to get across. I keep pounding, saying the same thing over and over. But it's not the same thing. It's new, because this is now. This is brand new now to do. I have to keep going. You will have to keep going. If the disease needs retreating, it's the only way it gets treated. See, to look at something from the alcoholic or alcoholism side is to look at things and think in terms that you shouldn't do this or you're not going to do this, but how about getting on another side so you don't have to look for trouble or even identify trouble? You don't need to. There is a way to live without all of the pain and suffering, all the badness, all the harm, the hurts, and everything else that goes on in your life. There is a way to do it. That's what this, why it's called a program of recovery. If it was a program of failure, a program of certain days for certain reasons for certain people, it just wouldn't be there for us, because it would be just like anything else is. This here program of recovery started June 10, 1935, and it was started by Dr. Baum and Bill Wilson by God, so that each and every one of us now, we would have something that was never there before. Power that makes it possible with a method of living that guarantees you and I a way of life. This is certain. What you're talking about is, it's hard to recognize self, because when something comes and you give it energy, you entertain a thought and it becomes real, you lack a power. You can't change it. You can't make it go the other way. That's what it means on page 45. Lack of power is your dilemma. Your dilemma. You can do something. It's up to you. Do you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it? Then you're ready to take certain steps. Certain steps is application. New character, new building. It's a growing thing. So yesterday is life. I don't give a damn what you had yesterday in your life, or me either. I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and every other thing like that, but I do not use yesterday's performance for today's living. I don't do it. This is a brand new day with a brand new living God for today. Anybody else?
My name is Adrian. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, hi, Adrian.
And some days for me it could be just coming home and seeing the kids across the street and how they get on my nerves, or when I wake up in the morning, certain thoughts. David was talking about it last night, that sometimes I don't wake up and think, oh my God, it's doomsday today, or anything like that. But, you know, it can be like the 5-year-olds and the 6-year-olds that live across the street are getting on my nerves, and other days it's like they're the greatest kids in the world. Or for me, where I find that I have a lot of problems is at work. A couple people I work with don't perform the way I think they should perform, you know, and they're always, well, you know, can you help me or whatever, and part of me is like, stay away from this guy, he's poison, he's going to drag you down with him, and I'll find myself ridiculing this person behind their back, and I always believe that God has a way of presenting to me that this is a pretty nice human being, you can treat him like that. Now, I know in my heart that is wrong. That's wrong, because my father always told me, instead of talking about somebody, what can you do to help that person? But there's a part of me that just doesn't want to stop bad mouthing that person and thinking I'm better than that person. And that can be at home, too, with my wife. You know, I know that I shouldn't, you know, snap at her. I don't like the fact that some days I snap at her and, you know, like, wow, just let me play Nintendo and leave me alone. You know, I just, I don't want to bother. But that's how my head goes, you know. I mean, I'm not making this up, but, you know, I can't get past that. And then I sometimes, I wrote a question yesterday, it's at work, it's like, if I don't do it, A, it's not going to get done right, and two, I don't trust anybody because you won't get it done on my timetable. Bob and I talked about this. Bob from Salt Lake talked about my wife remodeling the basement. She was doing the basement. It was her project. My project was the grass. I'm obsessed about a green lawn. Well, I said, Pam, you see, honey, the guys came in. They got their stuff done. Now I can enjoy it for the rest of my life. It's taken you 3 months. I'd have had it done in a month, you know. That kind of thing. Those are the places I get stuck in, you know. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. Sure, it makes sense. You know, remember last night I was saying the Sermon on the Mount talks about thoughts. They're like enemy soldiers. You know, if you let them there, how they dig in and you can't get them out because they become a working process for your mind to use. And this is the same thing you're talking about. See, in the beginning when I was talking there, I was saying that it's not what people do out there that I see that upsets me. What upsets me is what my mind tells me about what they're doing. That's what upsets me. Now, that's a son of a gun to figure out right then and there, what I just said. Because that, you know, that sounds like a bunch of words. It maybe even sounds like double talk, but it's not. Because it's a concept in my brain that tells me how bad that is they're doing. And right or wrong, it makes no difference, because my mind will still tell me whatever it tells me. And so this is something to look at, see, as far as... So because... Like you're talking about somebody making too much noise, the kids or whatever it is, or something like that. That's what Dr. Silkworth is talking about when he says alcoholics drink for the effect because they're restless, irritable, discontented. That's alcoholism. That's not drunkenness or anything else like that. It means that the mind, there's something wrong with the mind, your mind, my mind. If it happens to you and you're an alcoholic with alcoholism, you're going to have to start looking to see exactly what's going on in your life. Because you see, you can't just make people do as you want them to do. That's a description of an unmanageable life. It's to live in a world wanting people to change and do something different, and they won't do it. And I've got an unmanageable life because of it. To accept another person, maybe your wife, maybe a girlfriend, maybe a neighbor, maybe a worker, maybe anybody, maybe a stranger even, to accept that person fully for whatever they do or say or be, that's a difficult thing. And the alcoholism, when it's not treated, won't do that. Can't do that. It's impossible. But there is a way to do that. But that's what this program recovery is all about. So that I can have something now in my life that I never had before. A power that's greater than me that can do for me what I can't do for myself. That's exactly what that means. It doesn't mean this power is going to stop me from going there and smack my hand when I take a drink or something like that. That doesn't mean that. It means that this here power, down in two, I'm going to have to build a relationship so that I can do something with it. When I do something with it, what I do, I turn my will and my life over to his care, instead of my care. Now, these are principles. These are words that come out of here, but they're principles that I must be the character that does that to be the character he wants me to be. I must give my will and life over to God by principle. Then I'm that man. I'm not the old man. That's a hell of a message, man. This is hard to get across. And I'm saying the same thing I said before. I'm saying it a little differently now. But it's got to be done like this, because for me to say something, or you to read something, or listen to me, or something like that, and then by power that you're going to use, you're going to kick it right out. You're going to throw that damn thing right away, whatever it is. It'll save your life and you'll still throw it away. It'll stop you dead in your tracks and give you a beautiful world and you'll throw it away. That's the disease of alcoholism. That's the power of self. That's the reason I keep coming here, by the way. Because I'm not permanently cured. I'm not cured at all. I only have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of this, what we're talking about, a spiritual condition. You know, like, what was it, Zig Ziglar says that you have to have, what is it, 16 times, hear something. Now, he's talking about the average person. 16 times before he can hear any part of that, whatever that was. Can you imagine if an average person takes 16 times, how many times I'd have to take? Maybe 116, you know, something like that. That's because the power of self. That's because of the mind that's injured, hurt, that keeps denying, keeps walking away from things, saying, man, I'll be able to do that tomorrow.
When I make a valuation, and it's difficult for me to separate my program of Alcoholics Anonymous from any other facet of my life, and I get very confused as to how I am to make determinations of when to let go of someone, that I have everything that I can do to facilitate change in their life, to perform the things that are necessary in our work environment. Also spills over sometimes into people I work with in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know when to let go of them. Maybe when I'm doing them more harm by not letting them go. Because I'm not able to carry the message, or they're not always able to carry it. I find it difficult to make those decisions because I have myself in that. And I know I can't find God's will in that for me.
This is what I was talking about before. It's the same message now. It's going to be the same thing again. Is the building of the character by principles is a lifetime job. It isn't a job that I do certain places at certain times. No matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, and what walk of life I come from. Now you've got to look at this like I look at it. Is because it's this way. That if you, can you imagine in this world now, how many alcoholics with alcoholism are maybe they're bosses, maybe they're this, maybe they're that, but imagine there's only one set of steps that will treat alcoholism and make the world that we're in a world we can be in and want to be in. And I didn't know that even the questions that I get is about how do you take God into the bedroom. Or how do I take God into work as a boss? The character that I am isn't built for certain things. The character that God builds for me as an application by his strength and guidance and awareness and everything else like that, no matter where I go, I can be the man God wants me to be. I don't have to treat people and think in terms that I'm the one that's going to be the judge, the jury. I can fire somebody. I've hired guys, many of them, and I've fired them too. Because they weren't competent, their jobs weren't good, they did more damage with the car that it came in with, and stuff like that. And this hasn't got anything to do as far as, because you want to fire somebody, you think you're, I don't know what you think as far as that, but at least you have the right to run a business the way it should be. You have the intelligence God says he wants you to be, to have, to look at this world the way you should look at it, so that you can let somebody go without wanting to hurt them or anything else like that. This here way of life I'm talking about is in all of my affairs. All of my affairs is practicing these principles means each and every one of us, this whole world of alcoholics, can live in the world they're in now so they don't have to drink or die or go insane. And this is what it's about right now. It's a hard concept to think in terms that I could be a man that I am in a bedroom with a wife, with a girlfriend or whatever. These are questions that were put to me. I can be that man because I am that man. That my mind, what it thinks and acts and does, it doesn't do what it used to do. It doesn't abuse people, hurt people, take advantage of people, throw people away. Get a friend, get a girl, throw them away. You use them up, to hell with them, they're no good. This is all about the character that I am, an application the day I'm in, so I can walk in this world, whatever this world presents. Doesn't make no difference. Whether it's here at the retreat, or over at Ron's house, or back in L.A., or whatever it's at. Doesn't make no difference. I'm going to go to Denver Monday morning. I'll be there at 10:20. When I'm there, God will be there with me the same as he's here right now. It's got to be that way, because I cannot live no other way. But you see, I have to do it to know it. Before, it was just reading and listening to others and everything else. Never once was it in me. But the moment it became a working process in my mind, man, I'm going for this. I'm going for more. Teach me. Show me. Tell me. This is what this meeting, this retreat's all about. It's to learn a great deal of what it is that we need to know about a way of life that we come here for. Why would you and I want to spend any amount of time like we spend here and then throw it away, not use it, not benefit from it? People, especially the people you love, when you're given an opportunity at least to be presented with it, to look at it and see, man, I need to have more. I've got to have more. That's what I did a long time ago. And to do that, this isn't preaching or anything else, because you've got the will. You've always got your own will. You can throw out anything you want to throw out at any time you want. The difference lies in the fact that since I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, since this program recovery and God's in my life, you can't take it from me. You can't. You can't make me go out in that world out there and want to rip you apart. You can't make me want to hurt you in any fashion at all. You can't do it to me at all. You used to be able to. Somebody else would upset me so damn bad I couldn't even eat. You can't do that to me now. The reason you can't is because there's a power in my life that's greater than me that just says no way. There's no way to respond like that. You don't have information in your mind to treat somebody because they're acting badly. But you see, there's another ingredient there that I never looked at one time. You can't take it from me, but I can throw it away. I can walk away from this program recovery. I can walk away from God. I can walk away from the 12 steps and do my own damn thing. This is the free will that God says I must have. This is because I need God. I need God. I have to go there. I have to give him my will. See, if I was made to give my will to God, I wouldn't like it a bit. But it's not that way. Somebody want to talk some more?
I'm down here with an alcoholic. This question is along somewhat the same lines. There was a question yesterday in regards to attitudes about managing a business. And then Ron last night talking about being right when our mentality that when we're right, we want to be really right. And I look ahead at managing people, and I don't want to be, I don't want to manage people the way that I used to, in a dictatorial, I'm always right, or even when I'm right, I'm really right. I want that new character, and as you're answering this previous question, I'm trying to envision how I develop that new character, and where's, developing a picture. And I really don't have a total picture. It's more of a burning desire that it's got to be, damn it. Mm-hmm. And that's not the right attitude to go at it mm-hmm. with. And it's depending and developing that character with God, I don't know how else that I'm going to do it. But I don't want to manage people. I don't want to boss people. I want to lay out rules, and I want them to be involved in a happy family so that they're happy in what they're doing. And certainly, there are people eventually that you will hire and you will fire.
Mm-hmm.
But if happy employees make happy customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, you're bringing in something now, too. The same thing as was said there before, is that There's an ego factor involved in each one of us. And this ego factor that's in there just makes me think that I'm somebody special because I'm the boss or the owner of the business or whatever else it is like that. That puts me in a different category of life so that I can look down on people or I can dictate or I can direct traffic, their lives or anything else as far as the way the business is. Do it this way and only this way. If you don't this way, I'll fire you and stuff like that. Well, ego, it's not been talked a great deal of this time, but ego is in there to look and recognize and identify because I didn't know myself why in the hell I get so violently mad. At first I thought it was just alcoholism, you know, just a bad thinking process, you know. But there's more. There's a character in there, and the character is full of ego, and that's self. And this ego business that I'm talking about, it lies in the unconscious. There's not a thing about it that's up in my conscious mind. And it's already there in its fullest form. So to be able to have not to have ego, we'll have to identify and talk about it, but to be able to perform in the day I'm in so that the ego doesn't override or doesn't become the power or becomes the authority or anything else like that, the new character, when in the program recovery, when you start from 2, 3, and 4, and as you're going along, the ego is being treated because of the application of the steps, especially when you get to 7, because in 7 is where you have to start giving instead of taking. And now this will put you down as far as before of doing things only because you're going to gain or because you want it your way or whatever the thing, the ego factor is in there telling you and talking to you. And then 10 also stops the ego now, right now, immediately now. You see, because 10 says that it's a continual inventory, see, personal inventory. And when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. Promptly admit it means no matter if there's a lot of damage there or if there's a lot of ego factor there, it all has to go. Every bit of it goes. So that's a method of living by a character. And when I live like this, this character gets stronger in the message or in the application with God. So then you have to identify ego. And that's why Dr. Tebow plays such a big role for all of us, every one of us, as his pamphlets and 4 pamphlets, because of what each one says, that we can recognize and identify the things that are needed in our daily living life where the ego factor is there. Because we were talking last night about what was the subject matter about complying? What was that one about? Well, no, it was, yeah, but it was about complying, about doing something. Was it you, Mitch, that was talking about doing something under protest or doing something? Somebody was, anyway. Well, anyway, what I'm referring to is that learning about how you and I as alcoholics have certain ways of looking at life and the day we're in so that we handle it, that we get by, or is this, that, or whatever. And this is about doing things under half steam or protest. This is about being forced into doing something I don't want to do. And then when I do it, I'm really upset. And I'm doing something under protest, and I'll let you know it one way or another. This could be at home, mainly at home, too. And so this is about the ego factor, how ego will control me and how I'll comply, and thinking in terms that later on, man, there'll come a day I'll show you what I'm like and what I'm really like. I might have to do what I'm doing now. And I'm doing it under protest. Bland, I'm doing it. I don't want to do it. This is a story about alcoholism, is what I'm talking about. And this goes for jobs, too, when you have workers around you that are doing things, slam-banging things, cussing and swearing. That's the way I was all the time. Man, I was a dangerous man because of the fact I was doing something and I hated every minute of it. But I had to do it, see? So I was complying instead of surrendering my life of fighting, arguing, to start a new life, a beginning of a new life where it becomes happy, joyous, and free. I wouldn't do it. The ego kept me over in the crap all the time. The machoism, the strength of thinking I'm so damn smart and so right that I know more than you. All of this stuff is the same thing that applies on either side of the fence, whether you're an employer or employee. It doesn't make no difference. Because you can live in the days you're in. Like you say, you know there's some that are going to come that are going to go. But you don't have to get all upset about it, or you don't have to punish people, or you don't have to get there and hold a rule of iron so that they're all uncomfortable. The way you act and the way you talk and the way you do things as a boss or an owner or whatever.
Not calling, my name is Mitch. Davenport. I think I asked you this last year a little bit about this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to word it right or not, but the book talks about precise. We show precise, and I think this weekend has been real good. And you gave a lot of examples, specifically, precisely, about how you talk to this God that is in your life. My question is could you be precise a little bit, you know, some of the things you say, some of the length of time that you do, not that any of all this matters, I just would like to hear you share a little bit about some of the things, the relationship, if you could.
Any words at all that you would say or I would say is sufficient, whatever it is. I was taught how to pray in the beginning because I didn't know how to pray. So I was taught to call on my God, to get on your knees, and to relate your life to him and your troubles and all of that. And this year, and then to thank him, and then get up from your knees and do this in the morning and night. And if you can do it during the day, do it anytime you can, and so forth. And it was a beginning, and any kind of beginning is good, regardless. There's nobody can tell anybody how to pray or how to act or what words to say or anything else like that. But there is such a thing as identifying what it is you do and what you have to do. And that's exactly what I do as far as the message goes, because it is the message. But I don't know this unless you show me and tell me, because this is so strange and so different that I don't even know that if you're at work, like you say at work, that I can talk to God there at work when I'm busy working, real working, and I don't need to pray to him. I don't have to get on my knees and go in the bathroom or anything else like that. I can pray to him right now, right this minute, right now. I can have a relationship with God right now. And this is like, I had to learn that I don't have to get on my knees to talk to God, to pray to God, to thank God, or to make it into a ritual. I don't need to do that. I can, and I do, but I don't need to. I have just as much relationship on my knees as I have right here, right now with God. This is a living God. This is something I had to learn. Because, you see, I kept God out of my life because I thought God was only needed at certain places, certain times. And that means in physical, mental contact, then why step 11 is there? Through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. See, now that means right now. That means now. Whether we have trouble or I have trouble or not, doesn't make no difference. It's a living God. I'm walking and talking with a power greater than me so that I can have a power greater than me. And when I did step 3, when I turned my will and my life over to the care of God, when do you think I did it? I did it one time, a long time ago, it's gone. No way. Each and every day. Each and every day. And that's what the book is talking about, a daily reprieve. A daily reprieve doesn't bounce off the wall from yesteryears. It comes right now. The daily reprieve. Every day, it says, a day, I must carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities. This here is along the same line as you were talking about. I never knew that I could be the man I should be in all of my affairs, meaning at work, whether I'm a worker or an employer, a boss. I had a garage. I had the mechanics working for me and stuff like that. I can be a man there that God wants me to be. No matter what they're doing, good or bad, doesn't make any difference. I can have a relationship with a woman, a wife or a girlfriend, and I can be the man God wants me to be. I don't keep God out of my life because he doesn't belong here or there. I've got to learn that this is a living God. This is something that's really hard to get across because I was so programmed from another man in the beginning to talk to God in petition, in prayer, to get on my knees at a certain time, a certain place. I never knew how to meditate. At one time there, that meditation to me, I never looked at it. I wouldn't look at it. It seems dumb to me. Because they told me I have to meditate in the morning when I first wake up. How about meditating during the day when I really need meditation? How about meditating when I'm working, when things are going wrong, or I'm in court? I'm in court and they're taking all my stuff. I ain't got no more stuff now. How about meditating there? Prayer ain't going to help me one bit in that courtroom. But how about shutting down a mind and so I can receive something in this mind? Instead of taking something out of my mind in prayer, how about putting something in my mind? Meditation is quietness. It's listening to God, really. How about doing that in court when they're rapping you real hard? How about doing that when you put you on the surgery table? Hell, I got one guy, the baby there, that goes in with me in surgery all the time. I go in there, and I've been in there 42 times. And as he's standing there, he's standing with the doctors let him stand there. And he says, you know what? He says, when they're putting you out, you're still talking to God. Imagine that. That's what he told me. I don't know. I'm unconscious. But see, the conscious contact, when I started I keep it alive. And as I keep it alive, it's there. This is what it's all about. This makes it a program of recovery, because the relationship with God for my life, not a relationship with me. I have that. Naturally, I have that. Hell, God don't dress me, or brush my teeth or anything else. But I need something more than just that. I need something in my mind so that my mind lives in a world it can live in, because it's a good world. It isn't full of all of me and yesterdays and all of the crap. Yeah.
Frank Alcoholics.
I can relate to what you said. I had a problem with that myself. And the reason I had the problem with that was because I was a yes man. Yes, this is an undeserved gift. Yes, but for the grace of God, I wouldn't be alive today. I'd say yes to that, and I'd move on like that. I got on down the road, and then that was in the pouch, and I could move on. And then I could really focus on what the problem was. And I could really formulate some way to resolve the problem in a clear way to shape up. I got it now. Give me the answer to this one. And all that time, my mind was telling me that all the things he spoke about were in place. God was in my life. I'm a new man. I'm not drinking today. All these things. But I swept all that aside. When I would address a problem, have no solution, I'd say, how do I do this? The answer was the same as it was the last time I asked him that. Yeah, and the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that. My head was telling me that all these other things were okay. The only thing that was needed some attention was what my head was focusing on, when in fact what really needed attention was the meat behind the eyeballs. Because I wasn't really being grateful for being alive. And most of all, I wasn't trusting what that power was going to give me. I said in every case that I would know what the answer was when I heard it. Because all the answers available to me weren't working. So I'd sit in this, I'd know the good luck, like when I speak like early in sobriety, I'd say, I'd know the good luck when I saw it. Nuts. I had no idea. And I had no idea until I was willing, and until I was open-minded enough in those cases you're talking about, to stop and get on a level field. Hold it. There's something wrong in my world today. Why? Because the drinks. Because Frank's saying to Frank that Frank knows the answer to everything else but this, and once this thing's solved, everything will be dandy. I'll have happy employees, I'll do the right thing. And nothing really changed in my life until I reached the point where no matter what, I go to God, and whatever God gives me, I believe that that's going to be the right thing, and I'm going to depend upon that. And through that dependence, it's free from that other stuff. The stuff that would confuse me, would stop me in my tracks, would deny me the answers or the resolutions. And it wasn't that how do I deal with them? I wasn't dealing with me. I wasn't allowing God in. I was playing it my way. And I was dealing with it as Frank sees it. And every time I went to him, I'd do the same thing. Every time I'd come back with the same question from a different way. I'm Einstein. I'm cutting angles. Bam! Okay. But I was a yes man all the time. I said, I heard this. I agreed with this. Because I agreed with it. My head says, it's okay. That's part of your life. You're in there. You've read this. You've done this. You got a great sponsor. You got a great fellowship around you. But when I needed to trust, I refused. And I didn't even think about it. I just did it because I had always done that. That old idea kept me chained to ignorance, chained to the man that I was. It wouldn't allow me to grow in those kinds of situations. I work with people. I work with a lot of people. I work with a lot of lawyers, legal people like me. And I tell you, like I said, I'm a yes man. Even today, I'll address things. And I'll catch, you know, and God will make it clear to me, say, hey, Frank, you're doing it again today. You're assuming something's in place and it's not. And what's not in place is that dependence that, and the trust and reliance that no matter what's bugging me, I'll just go to the power and accept what I hear. I'm not confused, but most of all, I'm not afraid, and I'm not confused, and I'm not overwhelmed by what I see, because it's not what's going on out there that's overwhelming me. It's the confusion that's being generated between my ears that's really the problem. And time and again, he made that plain to me that it wasn't what I was seeing. It was his meat back here. It wasn't functioning. It wasn't depending on that power to give me the independence that I truly needed to resolve the problem. singular problem, me, not whatever else it was.
You know, one of the things Frank's talking about is a real hard for me to realize and to live daily this day is keep looking inwardly all the time. Keep looking inwardly. Don't look outwardly. What I mean by that is the way life is, the way you behave, what you do, whoever you are. And if it means looking inwardly, it doesn't mean that I can't watch you work, or if I'm the boss and looking at you, it doesn't mean that. What I'm talking about is that looking outwardly and seeing out there the world that's wrong, finding fault-finding, looking for things that I'm always in tune to find fault or to put judgment or criticism. I've got an overactive brain, and it's full of me, and it's full of all kinds of judgment, criticism, and everything else. When it's just in idle gear, and it's never an idle, but when it's just with nothing important going on, it'll find something to think about, and it becomes important. I've got, this is what they mean by restless, irritable, discontented. Restless and irritable, discontented is a condition of an alcoholic, where no matter what's going down, no matter it's good or bad, by his own power, by his own way of thinking, acting, living, he's restless, irritable, discontented. You can't please him. You can't stop him. You can't give him something real good and he'll slow down or anything else like that. This is something that has to be, if it's in you like it's in me, it has to be identified. It has to be looked at. Because why go into troubles or why go into a life, in a daily life, and continue on from where yesterday was, doing yesterday's life and being hurt or hurting people by it. See, the message is always the same because it's always about a character building. It's always about that this day today, now, because listen, we've been up here now since Friday. And see, Friday night went by, and then Saturday went by, and here it is today. What good would Friday night or Saturday be if it's not in my life today? The principles, the application. Because I can't go back and start applying it Friday, it's gone by. And see, my mind doesn't look at things like that because that's stupid to think that way. But it's not stupid when you're living in the day you are, carrying yesterday's or Friday's life back in today's life too, and then complicating or thinking about it or just rehashing something and then getting more excited. That was a thing a long time ago. When I was in the Navy, I was overseas. And hell, I'm over there 6,000-7,000 miles from here, wherever here was, and where the trouble was and whatever was happening, and I'm over there reliving it again. And hell, it's months, maybe years later, and it's still doing the same thing to me when I relive it as it did when I did it, or worse even. And how does that match up? I mean, why would I want to hurt myself about something that's about 6,000 miles away, and I can't do anything about it anyway, but I'm going to go ahead and think about it, and then I'm going to get all screwed up in my mind again, feeling guilty, kicking myself in the hind end. This is a story about today, though. See, this isn't about some years ago or 6,000 miles ago. This is a disease that functions now, right now. To make this more important all the time, I have to stay in the now because my disease needs to be treated now. When is the program recovery going to be a program recovery? When? Now or when? Never. If it isn't now, it is never. I only say this all the time because I couldn't hear this, and I have to hear it yet. At one time, I could listen to somebody say that, but it wouldn't register. It just didn't do me any good at all. Not a bit. It wasn't until later on that I realized my life's important to me. When I'm living this life today, like today, coming here, doing the things we're doing and everything, why can't I benefit from that? If my Lord sets it up so that I can be here, and he can show me that I have to go farther in his world, and this is his world where I'm at right now because he's here right now. This is news, man. This is the way it is. I'm not up here looking with even God back in L.A. or anything else like that. This is my life. My life's important to me.
Another question. Sorry. Right. An early sobriety for me is sometimes tough to develop some of those repetitive habits of trying to make contact with God. And my mind races like an alcoholic mind ever described here. And I'll be out there and realize, man, what am I doing out here? I need to be back, sure. Focusing on, sure. on this recovery process. And I'll go from both ends of the spectrum throughout the day. I don't know how many times. What I want to ask you is, in early recovery anyway, do you
Have you used any forms of, not like the word values anyway, gimmicks or triggers or things that go on your day that says, oops, you're doing this? Is there anything that I could try to put in my day-to-day routine in life that would remind me that I'm not here? I'm in the wrong place. I need to be focused on and back to being praying and trying to rebuild this character that we've been talking about. Is there anything that you could share that might help me identify some of these times when I'm out there and I need to get back? Is there looking for things that are happening to me?
Sure. Any kind of gimmick at all would be fine with me if I was the alcoholic. Anything goes. I don't care what it is. If it'll help me get back or get to where I belong, certainly. And this year is the same thing again. That's why I talked like about today about the ominous signs that I found out what they are. The minute that I show any kind of judgment, criticism, worry, anger, resentment, anytime I'm intolerance of you, whoever you are, and being like we were talking about in the market and things like that with a line of people, man, I'll tell you, that's the disease, and I know exactly. I'm standing under, how many times, you know, this happens all the time. I go to Costco and Price Club and all that. And you know how long them lines are all the time. You know, they're, or at least in L.A. they are. They're early in the morning, late at night, they're long, man. And everybody's got a basket full about that big, you know, and everything else. You know. And I see one over there, and it's only got three in it, you know, and they don't have much in the basket. Bam, I hot-foot it over there, you know. And then as I'm sitting there, standing there with this here, these other lines are long, see. And I'm noticing this guy over here, he's starting to move up. And I'm staying here. And something's wrong with that guy there. He's writing a check and he can't get it cleared. And I'm thinking, now what the hell's going on here? I did that one day. Not too long ago, I did that. And this one guy, I noticed him because he made me move so he could put his basket through to get in that line, see? And so I backed up and let him move through, see? Next thing you know, he's checking out. He's going like this, he's going out the door like this. I'm still in the same place I was when he went through me, you know? And he went through a long line. I blow my mind over that. Something like that, all I have to do is give that energy. My whole day is gone to hell, man. I'll take that out of that store and I'll drive like that. I'll talk to you like that and I'll moan and groan. And believe me, this is something that happens right now, right today, this day. Because the disease needs treated now. You know, these might not seem like they're big things, but they are big things because I'm lost wherever I go, whether it's in that market or any other place I go. If I use the same type of thought process coming from self, then I think that maybe I'm getting a bad deal, or they're using me, or any kind of thought at all coming from self for any reason, man, I take on some power, man. I just think I'm so damn special, but that shouldn't be like that. The disease of alcoholism has to be recognized. If it isn't recognized, identified, become aware of it, what good would it be for any and all of us here to keep struggling because we had a beautiful day and all of a sudden here's a person, whoever that person is. One thought, I lost the whole picture. And I lost the picture for now, though. I lost the picture for where I am now. I don't lose the picture because I see something now and it affects yesterday. It affects today, right now. That's what the whole program recovery is based on the fact that each and every one of us can have this day, today, this day, right now, in a program recovery. That's why it is a program recovery. It can't be a program recovery from yesterday. In other words, like a wasm is, or like we did so much work yesterday, now we're okay today, we just have no more problems. We're problem people, the book says so. We live by problems. Get rid of one problem, here comes another one. What are you gonna do with the other one? Get rid of that one, here comes another one. That's the way a mind functions. Other average people don't do this. They don't think in terms of problems. They think in terms of doing something, getting over with it. If they have to do it again, they're not upset. They just do it over again. No thought. Me, I can't do it like that.
My name is Richard. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Richard.
You know, I'm absolutely astounded by the fact that, you know, I've been here for a few days, almost every minute of the time here with you.